Well, good afternoon. I know it's hard being the afternoon presenter, but I see lots of familiar faces out there, so that's fabulous. So my session today, and I'm very passionate about, is all about improving the patient experience while optimizing clinic efficiency. We have a saying that we like to use out here in the West, and it's all about working smarter, not harder. And so recently, as funds have begun to dwindle, or we've been asked to do more with less as we create new programs, this has been quite a priority for our family planning Title X programs. I absolutely have nothing to disclose, no relationships to disclose. So welcome to the world of clinic efficiency. This is a little bit about how we help our clinics really begin to build some definite success in their own individual programs. For my particular presentation, we're going to talk a little bit about defining what the Title X program is, because that might be new for some of you. Talk about the six principles of the clinic efficiency process and what makes that so successful. List some of the key indicators of our clinic efficiency process and compare the pre and post desk clinic intervention data with one of our more stellar sites. Actually, they've all done really well. Personally, I've probably completed this process now with about 55 different clinics. Many of them are public health, Title X funded clinics in both our region, which is Region 8, and also have had the opportunity to work back in Region 1 as well. So just briefly, a little bit of information about the Title X program. The Title X program actually does provide access to contraceptive services, supplies, and give information to those in need. The priority, however, is given to persons of low income. This is a program that's administered within the Office of Population Affairs, which is located within the Office of Public Health and Science. And the Title X program is dedicated exclusively to funding family planning and reproductive health services for both men and for women. This is just a map. This tells you a little bit about Region 8. Region 8 is Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, Montana, North and South Dakota. And this is where I've spent the majority of my time and my efforts working with Title X funded clinics in our region. We have about 132 Title X funded family planning sites in this region. Some of them are standalone clinics. Some of them are in public health departments, state health departments, private physicians' offices. So one of the things that's nice about our model is that it's not a cookie cutter model. No two clinics are the same, even if they're under the same auspice of the same grant director or delegate agency. So this particular model and intervention really does allow us to go in and meet the clinics where they are and to figure out what's really most important for them and their efforts to sustain. We have probably about six more locations to add to this map from this particular year. So let's talk a little bit about our process and what we do. Before we move into what we find to be the real critical elements of really making a clinic truly functional and efficient, JSI comes on site and we help clinics with what we call is the patient tracking process. And that's where we usually spend a day at a clinic and really follow patients around. And in doing so, we're able to communicate with the staff and find out, you know, sort of their observations of what seems to be working well or what might be challenging. And we're also able to follow the patients from start to finish. And in doing that, it gives you a really good snapshot of, you know, what an average patient goes through for a visit. And so where might be some areas that could use a little bit more work. So the first principle that we use is really move around the patient instead of moving the patient. One of the goals of our project is to center the work around the client or the patient instead of moving the patient all over. If any of you actually work in clinics right now, you may be familiar with the concept of the patient comes in, they check in, they go to the restroom, then they have to go to an interview room, then they have to go to an exam room, and then they have to go to another room to check out. And so sometimes that really patients get confused. And so the more work that we can center around that particular client, the better the work is. And the more the patient actually appreciates that approach as well. I mean, for instance, who likes to get weighed out in the hallway where everybody's watching you and everybody can read your weight? So it's much nicer to be able to take a weight and a blood pressure actually in a clinic room than actually have to drag them all over the place. Number two is really identifying what your clinician's role is and making sure that you have enough of your staff that's cross-trained. Our nurse practitioners, they're our primary provider, are usually our highest paid provider in our clinic. And so it's really not a good use of their time to have them doing other duties that really don't involve what we would like to call maybe a table visit. So it's really making sure, I mean, can anybody take a weight or a blood pressure in some states with proper training? Absolutely. You know, we like to look at who's making appointments and who's delivering pregnancy test results. A lot of these are things that can be done by persons other than the provider with proper training. One of the things that we do then is we work with sites to identify what are some of their other training needs, and then we can link them up with those particular trainings. So number three is don't beat around the bush. You know, oftentimes clinics are busy and it's crazy and they can't find a chart and they're trying to figure out how to let the people in the back know when there's a person ready, or the people in the front are sometimes charged with maybe overbooking and the providers are in the back and they're very unhappy about that. They don't understand why people are, you know, cramming those extra patients in. So how do we communicate with our office staff? Do we use beepers? Do we use pagers? Do we communicate directly? Do we use color-coded charts on the door? It really does depend on the type of the clinic that you have, your actual clinic layout, funds, all these things, but we really work with the clinic to figure out how can we be most effective through communication. This sounds sometimes pretty easy, starting all visits on time every time, but of course, for those of you who have ever worked in a clinic, it's not always that easy. You know, maybe your first patient's at 8 o'clock, but you're just getting there at 8 o'clock and you're getting your coffee and you're chatting about the weekend, and next thing you know it, it's 8:20. So by the time that patient actually gets back to either an interview room or an exam room, it could be 8:20, 8:25. And so that really starts your day out. You know, you're sort of behind to begin with. There's a lot of things that we encourage our sites to do to start all their clinic visits on time. One example is paperwork. Paperwork seems to take up a lot of the patient visit. And so many of our sites now are very creative in the fact that they're putting their paperwork online. They're asking clients to bring some of it in completed already. And while some of our clients don't have access to the internet, if one or two of your patients bring in their completed paperwork, that really does help with your whole entire day. It makes a huge difference, especially if you're trying to get caught up. This is extremely important when you're thinking about sustainability, and that's matching your capacity, identifying your capacity, and matching it to your demand. We have some sites right now that have a 2-3 week wait to get in for a women's annual reproductive health visit. But then at the same time, they're only seeing one and a half patients per hour. So we, you know, a nice goal for them would be to see 3 patients per hour. And so what we do is we really help work with them around their scheduling systems, wondering if it's the provider that wants more training or if she needs more support staff, he or she. So really helping them pair up their capacity with their demand is absolutely crucial. Some of our sites are a little bit less fortunate. Maybe they have the capacity but don't really have the demand, so that would be an opportunity for us to work with them around some marketing, some community partnerships. And then element number 6 is coming prepared with all the tools that you need. You know, sometimes this isn't rocket science. Sometimes it's as simple as making sure that you have the right blood pressure cuffs. You know, maybe you need a large blood pressure cuff in every room so that you don't have to embarrass your patient by running out of the room and getting one, you know, from somewhere else. Or you need your scales, or you need your educational materials, or your blood drawing, you know, just a portable blood drawing kit. Just making sure that you have everything that you need before you kind of jump off to get started. So, some of the key indicators of our clinic efficiency project. Cycle time. This is the time from the time the patient walks in the door to the time the patient leaves the door. So that's the total amount of time that the patient's in your clinic. This is one of the things that we look at and measure. Non-value added time. That's usually patient wait time. The time that they're waiting once they've completed their paperwork to get called back. Maybe it's the time that they're waiting for the provider to come into the room. So it's really time when they're spending nothing that's actually related to their visit except for waiting. We want to work with clinics to reduce that time. Patient provider time, that's the time that the provider is actually working with the client. The patient-provider time is extremely important, and you'll never hear me say that throughout this process, that this is something that we are trying to compromise, because we're not. We're wanting to make sure that that patient-provider time is satisfactory to both the provider and to the patient, and so that the provider's not feeling so rushed. Oftentimes, our providers are rushed. They're trying to chart quickly, which could make an indication for a higher error rate, and they're trying to move on to the next patient. We want to make sure that they have the time that they feel like they need to spend with that particular client. Reduction in unnecessary stops and handoffs. You know, oftentimes it's not unheard of for our patients to stop 7 to 10 times for one women's annual reproductive visit. And by that, I mean she checks in at the front desk, she sits down and fills out paperwork, she turns her paperwork back in, she sits back down, then we have her go to the bathroom and we ask for a urine sample, and then she's sloshing that around the hall because she doesn't know where to put it, and then she has got to go to an interview room and then an exam room and then back for checkout. So again, that lends itself very nicely to centering more of your work around your patient. And then the other piece that we measure, one of our indicators, is really our health educator or our nurse time. That's the amount of time that the person the patient sees before they get to the provider spends with them around health education. Oftentimes we see a duplication of efforts here. The health educator is oftentimes saying the same type of education around birth control methods, and then the patient gets back in with the provider and they're saying the same thing. And we've learned now that that doesn't have to be that way. So it's really listening to who's saying what so that then we can sort of steer the direction of how that visit's going to go. Okay, so some of our evaluation results from 2005, 2009, which we're very proud of, hence the nice poster in the back, too, so feel free to look at that on your way out. We've had a decrease in cycle time by an average of 10 minutes per patient, which is truly really an amazing feat. That means your patients are spending 10 minutes less per visit at the clinic. They love it. An increase in the quality of provider time by 25%. Providers love it. This has been an amazing interaction for them. A reduction of unnecessary handoffs in all sites. So really kind of figuring out, can we streamline who's going to be interacting with what patient? The non-value added time or the patient wait time has decreased by 50%. Now, if you're a patient, you go to the doctors, you know what it's like. The number one thing that we pretty much all can agree on is that we don't like to wait. So if you can wait 50% less, you're much more likely going to want to come back to that place as well. An increase in the number of patients seen per year at about 71% of our sites. So that's been good. That's been extremely good. That was definitely one of the goals. Increase in patient donations in most sites by about 30%. In our particular region, Region 8, our Title 10 sites do go and ask for patient donations, and it's very critical to their operations, and so they need to make sure that they know how to ask for donations, they know who to ask for donations, and that these donations help them sustain some of the other activities in their clinic that they may not be able to afford otherwise. Definitely an increase in both patient and staff satisfaction. An increase in our male patients by about 27%, and as you know, if some of you work in Title 10, that increasing male services, it has been a priority for the Family Planning Title 10 program, so I think that we're off to a really great start here. And we've also had an increase in HIV tests performed by about 14 to 92% in some of our clinics. That's been also really, it's been really nice. Some of our clinics had no idea how to begin to integrate HIV counseling and testing into their program, and they were very nervous about doing this. So this really helped them see an opportunity that they could better integrate not just HIV counseling and testing, but any other service that they're asked to do as things move forward. Okay, I put up here, this is an example of some pre and post data from one of our sites. This was the Summit County Community Cares Clinic, and this is up in Frisco, Colorado. And I think what's interesting about this is that, I mean, first of all, their clinic capacity definitely increased. We also look at the number of no-shows, reschedules, and cancellations, and we put those all together because basically that's just a blank slot on your appointment schedule. And so this particular clinic moved to something called next day scheduling, and they were able to decrease their no-show rate from 8 to 2, which is pretty amazing. Their average cycle time went from 70 minutes per patient to 58 minutes per patient. And again, this is a site that sees clients not just for family planning visits, but clients actually have some mental health issues as well as some other just regular medical issues. Average patient provider time went from 30 to 18 minutes, and providers still thought that this was absolutely wonderful. They felt non-rushed with their clients. They felt like the quality and continuation of care was fantastic. Non-value added or patient wait time went from 21 minutes to 10 minutes. Again, if you're a patient, it's nice not to have to sit around and wait. Nurse educator time went from 12 to 10 minutes, and that's about average. That's what we pretty much see as a national average for how much time our clinical assistants, health educators, and nurses spend with our clients right up front. And then the average number of patient stops, I thought this was pretty cool. This went from 7 stops per patient visit to 4. And so that meant that they truly were making an effort to center the majority of work around their particular client. So a lot of our team, a lot of our sites have a little fun with this. They choose some very fun names. We encourage them to make this a fun process because, as you know, change can be very, very difficult, and not everyone embraces it as much as I do and some of the people on my staff do. So we really want them to have some fun with this process, and we are there to help them throughout the entire way. So it's not like we come in and we train with them and we leave. We really work with them for the next 4 to 6 months to make sure that they're able to sustain these changes. We go back and evaluate so that they can really see their pre-numbers and their post-numbers, and they can get pretty excited and jazzed about that. That's great. We like to see that, and we like to be here for a resource for them as they move forward with any other changes or any other programs that they've been asked to integrate. So I think I'm at my time limit. Am I on it? I'm good. I would like to thank you. This is my contact information. Also, again, the rest of our contact information is back there on the poster. So thank you.